Welcome, welcome, welcome to Chalkboard with Coach P. We're a comprehensive podcast where all opinion matters and conversation is key. Today we'll be discussing the new debate that's kind of going around since the final dance been airing. They've been talking about LeBron and Mike. So we really want to find out opinions from some guys that I value a lot. I want to introduce to my co-host, the high flyer from Fairfield School, one of the most brilliant minds, man. My co-host, Big C. Big C, what's good, man? You here with us?
Everything copacetic, brother. How you feeling?
Man, pretty good. Pretty good, man. Pretty good. My other brother that's on here with us, man, he's a mentor, a trainer, an advocate for the continued knowledge of basketball, and an intricate part of the coaching staff at Center Point High School. My man, Quincy Q. Mello, they call him Q. Coach Q, what's going on? That's Q there. Q at the callback. Coach Q, what's going on, man?
What's happening, man?
Man, glad to have you with us, man. Man, my other brother, man, this is all family, all love. He's an entrepreneur, the legal hustle way. You know, he's fashion savvy, one of the most underrated ball players in Alabama right now. My partner, Donald Pokey Cotton. Pokey, what's good, man?
Hey, man, good. Good to be here. Good to be a part of.
Man, glad to have you, man. Definitely. My other guest, man, this guy I've had the pleasure of knowing for many, many years now. Miles College point guard, fellow veteran of our United States military, former Lawson State head coach and present coach of the University of Montevallo. My partner, my brother, Devin, Coach Devin Masson. Coach, what's going on?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing, man? Thank you for having me.
Man, we got the deck stacked tonight, man. They really don't know, man. You got to understand what this is. It's real special to me, man, because a lot of time we were speaking about it briefly before we started. It's been a long time since all of us was, like, in the same place at one time, man. So I really, really, really thank y'all, man, for being here and joining me, man. And hopefully, well, I'm sure this won't be the last time, man, because all the people we know and the things we talk about is stuff that's going on now in the world, so... So we're going to start it off, man. They got this LeBron and Mike going. We're trying to figure out what's going on. Because at first, they was, you know, we talked about LeBron and Kobe back in December. So I'm going to start with you, Coach Big C. I'm going to start with you, man. So right now, you the GM. Put your GM hat on. So starting a franchise right now, present day, starting a franchise. Who would you take in their prime? Prime LeBron or prime MJ right now?
That's easy, man.
Which one?
The real one.
Oh, okay. Y'all forgot LeBron wore 23.
The real one. You know, I take Jordan because of his tenacity, his skill set.
Okay.
His will to win.
Okay.
I'll just take Jordan.
Okay. You'll take Jordan. I'm pass that to Coach D. Coach D, you start on your franchise anywhere USA, both in their prime. Who would you take with your first pick? Prime LeBron or prime MJ?
Well, I have to be honest with you, man. I would have to take LeBron James.
Okay.
Michael Jordan is a once-in-a-lifetime basketball player, but LeBron James is a once-in-a-lifetime athlete.
Okay.
I think that we've seen a prototype of a lot of basketball players over the years. And the lucky thing about our generation is that we've been able to watch at least 3.5 decades of ball.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys would agree or disagree with me, but I've yet to see a talent like that before. So, you know, if I was starting a team and I was watching some guys play basketball, a dude that can rebound, a guy that can pass the ball, make the right decisions, and put the ball in the hole at an efficient rate, I gotta take that dude.
Okay, I understand that. We're going to slide over you, Pokey. Pokey, you starting your franchise anywhere USA. First pick, both in their prime. The prime LeBron, prime MJ. Who is your first pick you choose to build your franchise from?
For me, it's the Nuggets, man. Michael Jordan.
Okay then.
Did I say that? You know, not that he biased, although I am from Chicago, Cook County.
You better know it. You too.
You know, so you was raised that way. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You're born into it.
Yes, sir.
You're born into it, but I think as you get older, you mature and you study the game. you know, not just because you were born in it, but then you get to see and understand basketball. And, you know, like I said, for me, it would definitely have to be MJ.
Okay. Well, we going to Coach Q, man. Coach Q, we saved you for last, man. I want to hear this, man. Franchise, you starting anywhere, Mississippi, Georgia, New York. You starting your franchise. Both of them in their prime. Who do you take with the first pick, prime LeBron or prime MJ?
Hey, man, this is not a right or wrong answer, man, but I'm going to be. Even if you went on LeBron or MJ, I'm going to they're two great players within themselves. You can't go wrong with MC. But if I'm going with the guy that I would choose, you know, start my franchise with, it's gonna have to be Mike. Just because his will, his determination, his competitive nature. I mean, he took the NBA to another level. You're talking about the marketing and things. And I think, man, he is the guy that is right now with his generation as far as looking for teams or the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard's. He inspired those guys. So, man, if it's for me, man, I'm gonna have to go with MJ.
Okay, I'm with you. That's 2-1. Big C, I asked you first, huh? All right, here we go. So, right now, present NBA. Right now, in the present NBA, who is the most overrated player?
Man, you hit me with that. I'm not sure, man. I'm really not sure. I can't say because I respect all them brothers that made it to that level.
Uh-huh.
And it's hard for me to say anybody's overrated. It's just hard for me to pick one right now. Maybe one of the other fellas can enlighten me on something. I can't pick one like that. That's overrated.
Okay, I'm coming back with Coach Q. Coach Q, right now, just your opinion. In the NBA right now, who you think is the most overrated player?
Hey, man, I'm with Big C, man. I think all them guys are great for themselves. You know, if they came in the gym, then we would definitely see like why they're in the NBA.
So, oh yeah, most definitely.
To be honest, I can't say who's overrated at this point, because them guys, they make some of their hype. I mean, they go out there and put it out all on the line. And we all know the game is for entertainment.
Right.
At this point, sell tickets. And as of right now, man, with them guys, man, they sell tickets. So, like I said, I'm with DC. I can't really say a player is really overrated at this point.
Well, you know, sometimes, just my personal two cents in the bucket, I don't know if I can say overrated or not, but I think about the year. What's the point guard from the Celtics that got traded for Kemba Walker?
Kyrie Irving.
No. He went to for Kemba.
Bad. Terry Rozier.
All right, I thought he had a great year. So in my mind, I'm like, man, I guess he's the next guy, like really flying up under the radar. But you really hadn't heard much from him. Now, you know, is that because he's in Charlotte or is he overrated? That's to me. So. That's my personal two cents. What you think about that, Coach?
I seriously believe a market plays a big part in those guys' publicity. I believe that.
Okay.
I lived in San Antonio for 8 years and got an opportunity to work for the Spurs for 2 of those 8 years.
Okay.
And I got to watch Tony Parker every day, right?
Okay.
And he didn't watch the point guard that good, but at the same token, I was watching dudes like that. Like, those dudes, man, could probably go and play in Euro 1 or Euro 2 and be the player of the year.
Right.
So I believe because of the markets that they play in, you just really never hear of them. You know what I mean? I think Fred is like one of the best point guards in the NBA. But because he plays in Toronto, you don't see him on TV as much.
Right.
I don't think he get his just due. I mean, you could think about our local guy, Eric.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think Eric is the top 10 point guard in the league when it comes to skill-wise and skill set, but because he play in a small market, he don't get the publicity that I think he's due.
Okay. You think he top 10?
Yeah.
Okay. That's tough. Poker, we're going to come to you, Poker. Overrated. Who you think is the most overrated player in the league right now that you can think of?
Well, I haven't had a chance to think about it since missing everybody else. Initially, my thought was the same. You know, I can't think of just somewhat of an overrated player.
Okay.
You know, when you initially asked that. First of all, I also agree with Coach B by saying that Eric is a top 10 point guard in the league. I absolutely agree with that.
Okay.
I think that the issue that I have is that when I watch the games and I watch the players, the thing about me that gets me, I think it's the politics that's involved.
I look at several people
that I know personally, and it's just because I know them who know they're supposed to be in the league. When you take KJ McDaniels,
yeah,
you watch the game. Every day, day in, day out, right?
Yeah.
And you can be on any one of these teams, if not starting, being the first one. So the politics of it is what I have a hard time. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that.
But if I had to name a player, I think I would go with Lonzo Ball. I think he's the one that, you know, had that high ceiling that just right. Hasn't lived up to it. For me, I would, if I had to take one, I'd take him.
Okay. That's fair. I can respect that. That's fair. And I also think he's underrated, Lonzo Ball. Because to me, man, the guy, he plays defense. He's super unselfish when he really can be, because he really can score like that. But I think he's one of those Jason Kidd-type hybrids, man, that plays the game the right way. So, truth be told, I think he's underrated, you know, but I respect the opinion, man. So we're going to move on to the next question. Next question, we're going to Poker. Poker, we come back to you first. In the most clutch situation that you have, you got LeBron and Mike on the same team. Who's taking the last shot and why?
Well, man, I'm actually glad you asked that question, because when you asked the first question about who I would take, LeBron and Mike, and I asked the question for what it was, and then I was like, I didn't explain why. So this is my point. I'm glad you asked that question. I'm definitely taking Mike. I am a LeBron James fan.
Got
I have you. Every jersey in my house from his high school to his current jersey is in my house.
I saw the shoes too that you had. Those are nice, man. I ain't seen them in a minute.
Oh, yes, sir. So I love LeBron James, but I gotta take Mike. And here's the reason why. There are several games, in my opinion, where LeBron James had the ball, clutch situation. And his selection of choice.
Okay.
I literally used to pull my hair out and I don't have any hair because he always, to me, he's passive and he's selling for a jumper.
Okay.
Michael Jordan is a killer. He's a killer. So he's attacking. He's attacking and he's going to get somewhere with it. So LeBron, for me, now this year that just passed was the best year for me with LeBron as it relates to him taking the basket consistently.
Okay.
But I would have to take Mike because of his decision-making and his aggressiveness.
Okay, that's fair. I'm gonna chime in to you, Big C. I hear you. You sound like you got something to say. I'm asking you the same question, man. In the most clutch situation, you have LeBron and Mike both in their prime, and both are on your team. So for the last shot, who's get the ball? Who you drawing that play up for, LeBron or Mike?
I'm gonna draw it up for Mike. LeBron might be involved in it, or a distraction or whatever. But I'm gonna go with Mike because his ability to get to his spot on the floor.
Okay.
He was great at that. That's something. He was a high fly. He was relentless, cold-blooded killer, but it was a method to his madness.
Gotcha.
He got to the spot he needed to get to take that jump, just like his last shot in Chicago with the finals.
Okay.
He had the ball on top of the key. He got to his spot, and he drank.
Gotcha.
Not just that one time or that last time in Chicago, but repeat.
Okay. Okay, Coach D. Coach D, same question, man. You the coach of this team, man. You just happen to be blessed. You have LeBron, prime LeBron, and prime Mike. It's 10 seconds on the clock. Tie game. Who take the last shot and why?
Can I read y'all something real fast?
Definitely.
Okay, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career, and I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game with a shot, and I missed. I fail over and over and over again in my life. That's why
I'm successful. Yeah, that's Mike. That's Mike quote. That's
yeah, Mike quote. Right. So, I'm not, you know, hey, look, man. Michael Jordan's stats for us, like, repeatedly, right? We can just roll those off the top of our head.
Uh-huh.
But before I get my hat, I got to ask a question to you guys.
Okay.
If John Paxson, Steve Kerr, don't make those shots. Are we having this conversation?
It'll be kind of rough. But you got to think about it.
So, yep. My answer is a two-part answer.
Okay, go ahead.
If we're going down the stretch in the ball game and it's our last progression, I want the basketball in LeBron James' hand. But I do want Michael Jordan taking the last shot.
Okay, let me put a pin in that. So, if you're the coach, you got LeBron and Mike on the same team. Just like Pokey said earlier, LeBron is going to make that pass, right? I would rather him make that pass to none other than Mike in a perfect world, if that's something that we could have. But personally, I think Mike got it. That's just my own personal opinion, man.
The deal is this with LeBron. Has he ever made a pass to a guy that hasn't been proven to make that shot?
No,
I don't think he did.
And I think he gets beat up for making the right basketball play.
But that is the right play.
I agree with that. I think he gets beat up for that. And I think that's the part of his game that people criticize the most. He knows I think the media and the politics of the game gets inside his head. And he thinks, if I miss this shot, they don't say I'm this or I'm that. They're just going to keep criticizing me. One thing I can say about LeBron is he is probably the most criticized NBA player we have ever seen.
How about the most criticized athlete we've ever seen?
I agree with that, fella. Let me put a pin in that.
You might be correct.
Q, the same question, man. Same question. The debate goes on and on about the right play. About the right pass, should I pass, should I shoot? In the most clutch situations, you got both these guys on the same team. 10 seconds left, who you draw the play up for, and why?
Man, I'm going with MJ. Man, I was actually, for the last couple of days, man, I've just been pulling up film concerning Mike, you know. And, man, I was just even today just watching him.
Uh-huh.
It's like with Mike, when people talk about LeBron, I shoot, but I think people don't really talk about Mike and IQ.
Uh-huh.
In the sense that he understood tendencies, he understood what people were, he understood how to put people in their places. And man, the way that he does stuff, man, it was like everything was so fundamentally sound. You know, even with the sweep through, I'ma take one dribble, I'ma do here. Even if you contest it, I'ma fade a little bit, I'ma shoot it over the top of you. You know, even just I understand how he's gonna play me. You know, like he knows how to get to his spot. And he knows how to make those certain shots, just like Kobe did. Like, Kobe know how to get to it. Like, it's just star players, Kawhi, Kobe, Paul Pierce, you know, Tim Duncan, they know how to get to their spot because they work on it so much that it's like second nature to them.
Right.
With LeBron, I'm gonna give a lot of credit with LeBron to the guy Phil. They've done a lot of skill development on the Lakers. And if you go back to the when they played Boston and the shot that he hit over Jason Tatum, that was the same shot that him and Phil had been working on right before the game.
Wow.
And you can tell, like, with LeBron now, he understands, like, getting a certain spots and kind of scoring. And, you know what I'm saying? So it's like he's maturing as far as taking those shots at the beginning of the game. With him being in L.A. and being with Phil. But like I said, man, when it comes down to Mike, man, Mike just knows, like, how to get the certain spot and when I get to the spot. And ain't nothing that you can do.
Okay. You played it on this, but other than that, man, you might
as well just take
it out. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, man, I'm going to have to go with Mike on that one.
See,
I got to ask this question, too, man. Like, okay. Me watching LeBron in the last 2 years, I think, really, this is the first time that dude's ever been coached. I don't think he's ever been coached. And the one thing that I can give to Michael Jordan is that when he got Phil, he accepted coaching. And I think that's what made his talent go to that next level. You know, like when you embrace teaching, you can see what Phil was teaching him about the triangle offense. And he just put himself in spots to be great. I believe LeBron, for the first 15 years of his career, was just stand 15, 30 feet away from the goal and go downhill. And that wasn't teaching him. And I believe once he gets taught how to really play NBA basketball, he probably would have been greater 10 years ago.
And that's one of the reasons I don't believe this is a fair comparison. He never allowed himself to mature enough. That's on him. We all make decisions. He chose not to be coached. Every system he ever ran since high school was the LeBron system. And it works out great for him.
That's not his fault. I mean, besides his high school coach, everybody he's played for has almost been a peer.
What about Mike Brown? I thought Mike Brown was a pretty good coach.
I thought so. I just think that I believe everybody that he played with, played for, I probably saw them as peers. You know, that's just what I think.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, I don't know if I'm right or if I'm wrong.
Was Spolster not a good coach?
I think he grew into one.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I think he was blessed to have an immense amount of talent on his roster, and it allowed him to grow into a coach. It's easy to grow to be a coach with that roster.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. So, Mike Brown was a good defensive coach, and the other guy, I forgot his name.
Tyronn Lue, David Black.
He proved himself overseas. He proved himself to get the job. He was number one in the Eastern Conference. And maybe, I think, if not the best record in the league, the second best record in the league, then he got fired.
He just got lowballed by Tyronn Lue.
Yeah, he did. I think that's part of politics. That's part of politics that Pogi. That's part of the politics Pope was talking about earlier, man. So, hey, we're going to move on to the next question. My partner Thad chimed in and said, no, he was not a good coach. We're going to start off with you, Big C. If the opportunity was available, so we're talking about our time machine, man. We jumping in our Back to the Future car. If the opportunity was available, LeBron can play in the 90s and Jordan can play now, who would have a better impact on the league and why?
Back on the lead because of the rule changes. No hand checking. No what they call a flagrant foul. One or two now. That didn't exist.
The Jordan rules.
Jordan rules. You know what I'm saying? I can't say I've seen LeBron in the 90s, but he's, to me, a mix of Karl Malone at his best and Magic Johnson at his best combined.
I think that's good. What about Barkley and Grandma Ma? I think he got a little bit of them too in him also.
Yeah, he do. A physical big man with guard, quickness, speed.
I thought he was a Penny Hardaway plus 50 pounds.
That's nice.
I agree.
That's a good comparison. That's a good comparison. That was my boy, too, Penny.
Just shoot like Penny. Just shoot like Penny.
No, that's the only deficiency. But Penny couldn't guard like Bron.
I think that's a myth, too.
You talking to the greatest Penny fan of all time.
No. What I'm saying is, I've never seen LeBron really guard people. In his 17-year career, I can't recall him standing in front of somebody and really guard them, making them make hard decisions.
Okay.
I haven't seen that.
I can remember in the 2 years I was in San Antonio, both those finals was against Miami. He guarded Tony Parker in every game. That's tough.
I don't think he guarded the whole game, though.
He did, but in key situations, he guarded.
One time, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, in the NBA, there's only 16 critical minutes, and those are the last 4 minutes of each quarter.
Right.
Yeah, so those guys pick it up a little bit at the end of each quarter. And if you watch his games at the end of each quarter, you will see him deliberately go to the head of the snake. It might not be the best score, but he goes to the head of the snake.
Okay, gotcha. We'll pick it back off that, Coach.
Did he do that with KD? So go ahead, please.
Hey, no, we'll pick it back off that. Go ahead, Coach. You can respond to that, and then we'll move it along. Go ahead, Coach.
To be honest with you, I don't know if KD was the head of the snake.
2018 for a quarter, Game 3 he was.
I don't think he was the head of the snake.
Game 3, 2018.
I think Steph Curry. I hate to change the subject, but I don't think Curry get enough credit of how he played pick and roll basketball to make decisions.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. John Stockton with a beautiful jump.
Yeah, so that's why I say he went ahead of the snake.
That's nice, and that's a hard team to guard anyway. We coming back to you to Coach Q, man. We going the same question, man. The opportunity was available. Let's jump in our time machine. Pick a player, mix and match. If LeBron can play in the 90s and Jordan can play now, who will have a better impact on the league and why?
I'm still going to go with Mike. I mean, I just said this yesterday. I think LeBron could play in the 80s and the 90s. I don't know if he would be as dominant. I think he would still average 20. Because we always got to take into consideration when we talk about the 80s and 90s. There was more beings that could actually play. There wasn't that much of a spacing during that time. And then when it came down to it, there was a lot of fouls.
Hard fouls.
So, and then we always got to put this into consideration. LeBron shoots 70% on the free throw line.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You're not a great free throw shooter. So my thing is LeBron going to be able to step up in their time to make free throws, or is he going to shy away from going in there being able to attack and take those type of fouls? When you put Mike in this era, especially with the superstars getting these phantom calls that they do get now. and this spacing, Mike quick first step. He's gonna get to the line. He's gonna be on attack mode the whole game. He's not gonna let up. Somebody posed the question, well, Mike can't shoot the three. Well, I say Mike can shoot the three, he just did it.
Right.
At that point in time, you got to look at two different eras where Mike didn't favor the three.
Right.
He could shoot it, he just didn't favor the three. And so if you put him in this era, we always got to go back to what his dad said. His dad said, if you tell Mike he can't do something, he's going to do it.
Right.
So imagine putting Mike in this era and you telling Mike, oh, Mike, you can't shoot. What you think Mike's going to do?
He's going to be in the lab working on that shot.
He's going to be working on his shot. And so now we have a Michael Jordan that can shoot the three, who can take you off the dribble. He can post you up, and he got great footwork. So basically, what we're looking at is
Kobe Bryant. Yeah. Basically, you're absolutely right. Hey, I agree with a lot of that too, man. We gonna shoot it over to Pokey. But before that, man, we got my partner Matthew Denegal, Lil Matt, man, in Houston, Texas, chimed in and say Charles Oakley would have a field day fouling LeBron. He would hurt that boy. I believe that's but you forget how big LeBron is. I don't think he would have hurt him. He would have made it difficult, but you know, LeBron, a big guy, man. He a big guy, man.
I think put in that position.
Let me say this.
Okay.
Remember the year that Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter made it to the playoffs, and I think they had to play the Knicks. And yeah. Charles Oakley was there.
Uh-huh.
And remember, like, Vince was the high flyer. He was doing all the dunks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was a play. I never forget this. It was a play. I think it was probably game one. Man, Vince went baseline and he took off. And Charles Oakley grabbed him.
Snatched him out of there.
And set him down.
He snatched him out of
there. Yeah.
Man, the look in Vince Carter's eyes told me how this series was going to go for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
because,
man.
Because the next game, he had the same play, and man, instead of him taking off, man, he stopped and took a pull-up.
Use that bank shot. he wasn't playing down there. Hey, well, hey, we back on. Poker, we ain't forgot about you, man. I'm going to send you the same question. So if the opportunity was available, we jump in our time capsule. And we could play. Take LeBron, let him play in the 90s. Let Jordan, let him play now. Who would have a better impact on the league and why?
Well, for me, it's the question already been answered. And I'm of course take MJ, and basically it all boils down to, like you said, the physicality.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? From this time to, you know, from now to back then.
Okay.
And now one coach, he made a great point when he said, you know, think about MJ. See, MJ can rise above it and get to it. You know what I'm saying? Get to his spot. But you know, the amount of hitting and you know, Russell, how they played back then versus now, you have to put it with MJ. You know, and we all saw in the documentary where they set out to hit MJ and hurt him every game.
Right.
So all those watch, what was MJ's response?
I got to hit the weight room.
Now, that's an open question. He said, I need 20 pounds on me.
I got to hit the weight room.
He said, I got to put 20 to 25 on me.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. You get what I'm saying? The way he took, and versus how we see, man, somebody swinging LeBron, and I love LeBron. They swing him, don't even hit him. He fall down on the floor. They ain't got to. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, the physicality from right now to, you know, and back then, you got to give the MJ.
It was a little different. You right. I agree with that. Okay.
But in LeBron's defense on all of that, man, if he played back then, he would have no choice but to adapt.
True.
But he better shoot better than 70% from the free throw line then.
Yeah, it'll be a little rough.
For kids in China to play basketball.
Oh yeah,
he made it cool.
Definitely.
Right. He made it cool for basketball to be played globally. And nobody, I mean, nobody has done it. I think Kobe benefited from it a ton. And mm-hmm. I think Michael Jordan is responsible for 95% of these dudes' contracts. He's responsible.
Oh, yeah. That's serious.
Yeah. And so, I think, like, far as, like, his greatness, I think I give more to him on that part of the game than anybody that ever touched the basketball. That's what makes him greater than any other basketball player to me, is what he did for the game. He made it cool to play basketball.
He did.
Right. I got one thing to add on that. We can't forget about Magic and Larry Bird. They saved the NBA.
They did.
They saved the NBA. And Michael took it to a hole. He took it to the world.
Yeah, Michael Jordan put it on Mount Everest.
Yeah. They saved it. He took it and ran off with it. Like,
hey, fellas, we're gonna take a 30-second break. I'm going to come back because we're live on Facebook. We'll come back, but in 30 seconds, we'll come back. And I'm starting with you, Poker. We're going to come back with your all-time starting five by position. We can't put a power forward at center because he can play it. We're going by position, all five starting five. We'll be right back. Man, appreciate y'all, man. We got something going,
man.
Everything
you need for a great night's sleep is now just a click.
It's always good conversation, man. You got good guys around, man.
I'm a cheat on that one, B.
Huh?
I'm a cheat on that one.
No, you can't cheat, man.
Okay, well, okay.
You can't cheat. So we're going to come with, we're going to go Poker. Then we're going Q, Big C, Coach D. We're going star and five. All right, here we go. So we're gonna finish it out. Coach Q, man, appreciate you coming on, man.
Man, no problem, man. Thanks for having me, man.
Man, Pokey, my brother, man. Glad to have you, man. We can't make this the last time, my brother. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Say less.
Coach D, man. Appreciate you, man. Proud of your progress, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Glad to have you on, man.
Man, I really appreciate the opportunity, brother.
Man, we'll definitely do it again. My co-host, Big C, my brother. Man, we back again, man. We got to get back on with these guys, man. Appreciate you for the night, man.
Ain't no thing, baby.
Man,
y'all take it easy, man.
All right, guys.
Hey, definitely. Hey, fellas. Hey, people, although we debate on this show with conviction, man, we appreciate the opinions and opportunity to speak to everyone that comes on the show that has an opinion and something to add to the conversation. So until next time, man, it's Chalkboard with Coach P. Peace.